Prologue. A rogue, an aimless wanderer, creation's castaway. This world was all those things. For uncounted centuries it had been falling, alone, without purpose, falling through the cold, lonely places between the suns. Generations of stars had succeeded each other in stately sweeps across its barren skies. It belonged to none of them. It was a world in and of itself, entire. In a sense, it was not even part of the galaxy. Its tumbling path cut through the galactic plane like a nail driven through a round wooden tabletop. It was part of nothing. And nothing was very close at hand. In the dawn of human history, the rogue world pierced a curtain of interstellar dust that covered a trifling small area near the up edge of the galaxy's great lens. A handful of stars lay beyond, 30 or so, a mere handful, then emptiness, a night greater than any the wandering world had known. There, falling through that shadowed border region, it met the shattered people. The Earth Imperials found it first, at the height of their giddy, drunken expansion, when the Federal Empire of Old Earth was still trying to rule all the worlds of humanity across immense, impossible gulfs. A warship named Mao Tse-Tung, crippled during a raid on the Harangans, its crews dead at their stations, its engines alternately shifting into drive and out again, became the first ship of the Man Realm to drift beyond the Tempter's Veil. The Mao was a derelict, airless and full of grotesque corpses that bobbed aimlessly through its corridors and brushed against its bulkheads every century or so. But its computers still functioned, cycling blindly through their rituals, scanning well enough to note the nameless rogue planet on their charts when the ghost ship emerged from drive within a few light minutes of it. Almost 7 centuries later, a trader out of Toba stumbled on the Mao Tse-Tung, and that notation. By then it was no news. The world had been found again. Celia Marcyan was the second discoverer. Her shadow chaser circled the dark planet for a standard day, during the generation of interregnum that followed the collapse. But the rogue had nothing for Celia, only rock and ice and never-ending night, so it was not long until she went on her way. She was a namer, however, and before she left, she gave the world a name. Warlorn, she called it, and never said why or what it meant, and Warlorn it was. And Celia moved on to other worlds and other stories. Cleronimus was the next visitor in AI 46. His survey ship made a few brief passes and mapped the wastes. The planet yielded up its secrets to his senses. It was larger and richer than most, he discovered, with frozen oceans and frozen atmosphere waiting for release. Some say that Tomo and Wahlberg were the first to land on Warlorn in AI 97, on their madman's quest across the galaxy. True? Probably not. Every world in the Man Realm has a story of Tomo and Wahlberg, but the Dreaming Horn never returned, so who can know where it landed? The later sightings had more of fact about them and less of legend. Starless and useless and only marginally interesting, Warlorn became a common notation on the star charts of the Fringe, that scattering of thinly settled worlds between the smoke-dark gases of the Tempter's Veil and the Great Black Sea itself. Then, in AI 446, an astronomer on Wolfheim made Warlorn the subject of his studies, and for the very first time someone bothered to string all the coordinates together. That was when things changed. The name of the Wolfman astronomer was Ingo Harpala, and he emerged from his computer room wildly excited, the way Wolfmen often get, for Warlorn was to have a day, a long, bright day. The constellation called the Wheel of Fire burned in every outworld sky. The wonder of it was notorious as far inward as old Earth. The center of the formation was the red supergiant, the Hub, the Heli, Fat Satan, it had a dozen names. In orbit around it, equidistant, arrayed neatly like 6 marbles of yellow flame rolling around a single groove, were the others, the Trojan sons, Satan's children, the Hell Crown. The names did not matter. What mattered was the wheel itself, 6 medium-sized yellow stars doing homage to their vast red master, at once